Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 73, September the 10th, 2009. We've reached problem 20, the personal test, trials, and sufferings of life, and the faith rest life. Years ago, we used to teach the faith rest drill. First stage, operation one, was rebound, confess of sin. Stage two was operation mental stability, claim a promise. Stage three was reverse concentration, called operation cogitation. Stage four was reach a doctrinal conclusion, which was operation decision making. Simple system, the living, the faith rest life. The faith rest drill is a simple system of basic training for believers. In order for the faith rest drill to be effective, you must be in fellowship with the Father through the filling of the Holy Spirit. If there is unconfessed sin in your life, you'll not be able to use the tremendous problem solving principles that relate to faith rest life. Faith, of course, that we point out to you as a noun and can sometimes be used as a verb. The original Greek manuscripts of the New Testament use pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. The first word being faith, the second word being believe. To be saved, we must have faith, that is to believe in Jesus Christ. Once we accept Christ, we must learn the Father's word and develop our faith muscles. The Bible says faith comes by learning and by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How many times you hear me say that? Romans 10, 17. We learn the Word of God, which puts muscles on our faith and gives us the ability to face problems in life without panic or fear. The whole issue of the faith rest life is learning to live without fear. Too many believers live in fear. Over the years, we learned and developed out the concept, though, that there is something larger and greater than just the faith rest drill for basic faith to help you make it day by day in a simple, quick situation when you have to stop and faith rest a problem. Faith rest living is an ongoing mental attitude that you develop in the soul of a spiritually mature believer, of a spiritual warrior. In Ephesians 6:16, it says, in addition, do all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. The military metaphor is used to describe the Christian life. When Paul was sitting there in prison in Rome, each Roman soldier had a shield that he carried into combat to protect him from enemy arrows and from spears. The apostle tells us that we have also possessed a military shield, except it's for spiritual warfare. It's not made out of wood. It's not made out of steel. It's not made out of any other metal. It's not made out of leather. Some shields are once made. It's made from the Word of God. When you learn Bible doctrine, the Word of God, and use it, what you learn, you're able to defend yourself against the attacks of Satan. But you have to believe the doctrine is called faith. Lifting your shield to protect yourself from Satan's attacks means mixing the promises of the Father has given to us through the power and the filling of the Spirit with your faith, and therefore following our Lord and Commander Jesus Christ in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. We point out to you that we're commanded, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes, that's the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. These become the orders of the day that you need to get down to understand that you can survive the Christian life. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him, that's through Christ who strengthens me. Along with verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs, that's God the Father, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Father's prepared to supply everything that we need to make it through the Christian life. Do you believe that the Father will supply all your needs? Do you believe that you can pass any test in life through Christ, who will strengthen you and provide the power for you through the Word when you are filled consistently with the Holy Spirit? Do you trust the Father's plan for living the Christian life, or do you think you can come up with a better plan for your life? Sometimes the Father will give us a lot more than our needs, but He promises to always meet our need. Are we willing to be patient and trust Him? The faith of Israel, as we said, was a very simple system. We claim the known promise once we've confessed our sins. There were 7,000 promises in the Bible. The claiming of the promise stabilizes us from fear and panic. We examine the Word of God to see what our options are. We always have two options. One is to do it God's way, and one is to do it through sin and evil, our way. We may not recognize the other option as sin and evil because it may come out of some logical reasoning of human viewpoint, because it is contrary to the Father's way. It leads us into sin and evil. When you examine the essence of God, God is perfect. Thus, His protocol, plan of the ages, is perfect. The Father never made a mistake. He never forgot anything, so He'll never forget about you and me. The Father's absolute truth, so He's never lied to you, to me, or anybody else. The Father is omnipotent, all-powerful, so He can solve every problem we have. He's omniscient, so He knows all of our problems before they begin. By using certain basic biblical principles, we form our own answers. We come to a doctrinal conclusion. Operation decision-making, as we call it. We'll point out to you, if God the Father is for us, who can defeat us? Jesus Christ, He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells us, and His power is available to us through the filling of the Spirit. The Father has provided everything that we need to handle the pressures of life. The Father has guaranteed us that we will never be tested beyond our ability to endure the test. And this is what we have to accept. Endure our souls, be relaxed, and handle one day at a time. The pressure is great. But we have to learn to deal with the pressures of life. We can't panic out. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature." Every believer needs to develop spiritual maturity in our souls. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has ever overtaken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." The way out, the way of escape, not necessarily relief, but the power to bear the test. Job 23:10. "But He knows the way I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Literally, the way that is in me, my conduct, my thinking, my viewpoint, my lifestyle, my decision making. The last part of the verse does not refer to the refining effect of suffering, but to His innocence here. He enters into the plan, to the filling of the Spirit. When the assayer tries Him, you will find no secret dross cleverly concealed from men, as His enemies had charged Him, but they will find gold, the gold of doctrine. The testing is the assayer trying Him. The gold is the gold of total confidence in God. When a believer fails to use the shield of faith, they become victims to their own sin nature and begin to worry and be afraid. We're all tempted. But there are those who get into a lifestyle of fear, worry, complaining, and never experiencing the Father's peace. He says, "Peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, Christ, and not as the world give I unto you." Christ has promised us a peace that the world cannot give you and cannot give to me. Peace is before us if we're only willing to accept it. Philippians 4, 5, and 6 says, "Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You and I have to make decisions every day. The Father gives us the promise of our own soul to make decisions. We either pass them or fail, and everything we need is provided for. He saved us. He's given us eternal life. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word, Bible doctrine. It's now up to us. We have to learn His protocol, plan of the ages, and do it. The challenge each one of us has to face is to learn God's Word, Bible doctrine, and pick up our shield of faith in order that we will not be a Christian casualty on the battlefield of life. And with that introduction, let's pause for solid prayer. I'll give you time to make sure you're filled with the Spirit, that you have objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God, not saying, "Here we go again, we've heard all this before." This is repetition with expansion. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. For your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, will accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Al Lindsay's translation of Romans 4, 4 and 5 says, "Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned on the basis of grace, but on the basis of debt. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." There are many facets to faith. Faith, as Hebrews 11:1 teaches, is having certainty in what we hope for. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is the key to life. Yesterday I was downtown and ran into a friend of mine at the post office when I was picking up the mail. He took off and left me. Went one way and I went another way. I had a couple of chores to do. He said he had some chores he had to do. I ran into him again when I was down at the bank. Walked up the street talking to him. This man is a very worried man. He owns a house that's probably worth $1 million. Or was before the deflation stuff, or better. What a beautiful view. He's just got through selling a house. Don't know what he got for it. He was hoping to get $450,000, told me he didn't get that for it. But he had bought it a rental house. He had to get rid of. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. I've known him for many years. Briefly, at one time, he was a taper of mine. But I don't think he ever understood the issues. Sad to say. He's very worried. He's very frustrated. I'm not judging him. He just told me. He's the one who opened up to me recently when I ran into him. We had a cup of coffee. He's in very bad financial health. The pressure is great on him. And the man's getting close to 70 years old. All the things he thought was going to be different for him in life are not happening. A Like many people, he rode the real estate market up and he rode it down. A little bit. He's under pressure and test. He's read newsletters of mine over the years. He's on faith resting in God and all. I'm not judging the man. But he's an example, someone I know. This world is crashing down around him. Pretty good health, he says. But he's concerned about the future. My wife is concerned about the future. I'm concerned about the future. The issue is to make sure that we're living a faith-rest life. We're going to face personal tests, trials, and suffering. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. We started on this in the last class. I want to go back because this is so important to everything else that we have. You say you've taught this so much, but there's expansion. This is not the simple faith-rest drill. I ran that to you, the 4 points of that confession of sin, claiming a promise. Reverse concentration, thinking on the Word of God, we've learned reaching a doctrinal decision. We long ago expanded that out into a lifestyle of things, though, based upon it in greater concepts. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, New American Standard, in this you greatly rejoice. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise of glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tested by fire. Will you stand up to the test? I have a pastor friend of mine. He's got a small church group. It's down to just a handful of people. He doesn't know what to do. I've got another pastor friend of mine who's down to just about 4 people, plus him and his wife and son, maybe. He doesn't know what to do. The tests are there. The pressure is on. Sifted in the fires. As Job said, and I gave you a moment ago, but he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job is faith resting under the doctrine that he had available to him on the limited doctrine of the progressive revelation in the day and age in which he lived. Look at Psalm 66. 10. But thou hast tried me, O God, thou hast refined me, us as silver is refined. God is going to refine you and I through testing. He's going to refine us through testing. The issue is how we're going to handle that testing. It may be death. I picked up the morning paper. So a former Seattle fireman, later police officer, later Seattle city councilman. And I knew a number of years ago quite well. Had passed away. A week ago, no one had called to tell me that he was passed on. Death is all around us. Age catches up with people. I was waiting at the bus stop for my wife to take her bus in the dark. I always get out with her to catch her bus in the morning to work. Stand there with her. Pickup truck rolled by, and a 91-year-old friend of mine who owns a towing company rolled out his one and waved at me. I mentioned to him that Wayne had passed away. He didn't know about it. He hadn't heard it. We have to deal with the death of friends. Some lost, some saved. Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot is for silver and gold, but the Lord tests hearts. The Lord tests us to see if we believe the doctrine that he's given to us? Do we actually believe this doctrine? I could go on and on with other verses. Isaiah 48:10. Zechariah 13:9. Malachi 3:3. 1 Corinthians 3:13. We're going to have our judgment come at the judgment seat of Christ when everything we've done is going to be refined out of it. But the Lord is testing us. We go through personal test and suffering. Romans 8:18. How are you dealing with economic disaster? My wife and I don't have to worry about losing a house. We have to worry about having enough money to pay the mortgage payments every month. Not a mortgage payment, but a rent payment. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." A number of years ago, we lived in a parsonage owned by a local church. We were pastors. The rent payment, or the mortgage payment, for the church in this house was only $275 a month. And soon the mortgage, man that was formerly a member of the church, he was going to seminary, our Bible college, preparing to be a pastor. And for the 9 months until he got out of school or something like that, they paid him, or a year, something like that, they paid him an extra $100 a month directly to him. Kept keep him in school and support his family down there. That's all he wanted. Cover the mortgage payments. I won't tell you how much more we have to pay in rent. We do that, but I was recently talking to someone and they were had a person that had to put that their son had gone through a divorce. And to make sure that his wife and ex-wife and the grandchildren, primarily the grandchildren, I don't think, had a place to live, they had allowing the person to live in a house. Apartment in the house and divide into apartments. They co-own with another person. They commented that since the ex-wife doesn't have any money and the son is struggling, they pay their business partner $500 a month and they swallow the $500 a month, and before they put the person in there, they were getting $1,000 a month rent on this whole house. Upstairs, or whatever, one floor, but some. $1,000 a month to rent part of a house. I've talked to people who paid $400, $500 a month for sleeping rooms. Man that catches the bus with my wife lives in a room, but they've got a little bamboo curtain down the middle or something like that, and that's about it. He sleeps on one side in one bed, another guy sleeps on the other side, another bed for it. And, he pays out he also gets 2 meals a day down there. It cost him, he said, over 65% of his income. He's on Social Security disability. He's being tested. Don't know that he's a believer. He's got some problems. But I want you to understand something. Everybody's tests are different. Some are health tests, some are business tests, some are financial tests. Some are spousal tests, some are children tests. We're all faced with cultural tests in our nation today, among other things. We must learn to trust the Lord. We gave you yesterday 2 Corinthians 1:5-7, also Philippians 3:10, Colossians 1:24. The solution to the problem is learning to live the faith rest life. Not just the faith rest drill, but the whole faith rest life, which is summed up in Hebrews 4:9-11. I know I'm repeating a lot, but Peter says that repetition is good. And who am I to argue with the written Word of God? But I'm going to give you some things you never had on the faith rest life here, so just hang in there a minute. We're always learning more. We're always picking up on new things as we expand and see the depth of the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:12 says, "Therefore I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." Peter says, "I'm going to remind you, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to remind you." In other words, it's good to be reminded. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:16, as also of being verse 50, as regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given you, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which are untaught, unstable, distorted, as they do also the rest of scriptures, to their own destruction. Alright, there are people who distort scriptures. Charles Ryder points out that the salvation is that the delay of the Lord is understood to be related to salvation, of the opportunity for other people to be saved. Verse 17, he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing that beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. The pre-tribulational rapture doctrine is under massive attack these days. I'm going to work on a special newsletter on that. It's under attack because Satan is, I believe, appearing as the angel of light, is trying to shake the faith of believers that God is in control of everything. There's nothing going on in this dispensational age, the age of grace, the grace of God the Father, the dispensation of grace of God the Father, the age of the local church is not covered by the Word of God, that we can't faith rest and trust in Him. Hebrews 4:9-11 says, "Well, your fathers tried me by testing." My apology, but I have to keep the phone as long as my wife dealing with a problem, including cracked ribs that are still healing and a probably cracked kneecap. "Well, your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, said, they always go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." They shall not enter my rest. "Take care, brethren, lest there shall be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God." Chapter 3 warns us there are those that do not fall into, that fail to enter into God's rest. Then over in chapter 4 we read, "There remains therefore Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his." The children of Israel did not enter into the faith or rest life, and they died in the wilderness. The whole generation of them, 40 years worth of death. Many Christians never enter into the faith rest living. The faith rest life is an ongoing daily life. The faith rest life is a life of trusting the Father to carry the believer through every test and trial that we may face in this life. It is accomplished by, as we point out to you, one, confessing our known and confessed sins to the Father. We call this Operation Rebound. Confess the sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fear is a sin. We overcome fear by confessing the sin of being afraid to the Father, and all the other known sins that will be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit allows us to move into stage 2, Operation Humility, or Bended Knee as I call it, when we humble ourselves before God. Philippians says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We need to humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5, 6 lays the groundwork for moving forward in the plan, and that is genuine humility, which cannot exist apart from the filling of the Spirit. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How many times have I quoted that verse to you over the years and given it to you? Stage 3 is Operation Cogitation. We go into reverse concentration and claim a promise of the Father to obtain mental stability. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Remember, it's a promise of God. Not a promise of man. Stage 4. Then we cogitate. Stage 3 was claimed the promise, Operation Mental Stability, 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We turn all of our problems over to him. Then we go into stage 4, Operation Cogitation on Bible Doctrine. We previously learned to seek a spiritual solution to our problem. We use reverse concentration to think, but you have to have already learned the doctrine before you can think about it. Once you've learned the doctrine, once you put your confidence in it, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We start thinking doctrine, looking for the conclusion to the spiritual problem. Remember, all problems are spiritual problems, not just material life problems. Stage 5 is Operation Divine Support. We pray for spiritual wisdom. James 1:5. You say, I don't want to go through all these stages. I want something quick. Well, I'm trying to tell you how to consistently live the Christian life. Faith resting. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. Day by day, you and I have to make decisions. And we're never limited to one choice. We think we are sometimes, we're never limited to one choice. The double-minded man that James speaks of, the double-minded man is a person who applies doctrine one time and fails to apply doctrine the next. He's mentioned in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There are people who apply doctrine, sometimes the wrong doctrine to the wrong situation. And then when Santa Claus doesn't throw them a present out of heaven and solve all their problems, they've still got to face the test. They panic out and say, doctrine doesn't work. Talked to a Christian man who was tortured for years in a North Vietnamese prison camp. Left him with permanent wounds on both his body and his soul. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. He did not have a lot of doctrine. But I heard him state more than once, I knew if I was ever going to be happy in this world, had to be right there at POW camp, because he believed he was going to die at what we now call the Illinois Hilton. He started claiming the promises of God as new. He started with the 23rd Psalm. I've been through some pain and suffering, but I've never been through what he went through. Talked to people that survived the Bataan Death March, the fall of Corregidor. We do not know what we can go through in life. General Pemberton, Lieutenant General Pemberton, the Confederate States Army, a native of Pennsylvania, fought with the South, rose to the until the very end of the war, when Lee was promoted to the equivalent of a 5-star general, he was made general and commander in chief of the army. Second highest rank. Corps commander surrendered Vicksburg. They said he surrendered Vicksburg July 4th, 1863. He thought he could get some kind of better terms out of Grant if he surrendered on the 4th of July. Instead, it became a great propaganda victory for the North. But he said that he surrendered because he couldn't stand to see the women and children who were starving inside the city of Vicksburg. Grant had laid siege to the city and they had no food. They were starving. He saw no alternative. Beverly should have never entered Vicksburg. He should have listened to Joseph E. Johnston combine the two armies outside the city, but he didn't do it. Johnston didn't have the troops necessary to needed to break through Grant and lift the siege. Pemberton couldn't take the tragedy. He said he could handle it for soldiers, but not for the civilians. We all have our breaking points of life. What are they? I don't know what I would have done if I'd been in Pemberton's place. It wasn't my test. West Point graduate, professional soldier all of his life. Jeff Davis did not hold it against him, but surrendered Vicksburg, but obviously it was a major blow. Pemberton resigned his commission. General officer continued to serve throughout the war in lower capacities. The Jews at Masada faced the same thing long ago. Their fortress at Masada. We don't know what we may be all called upon to face in life. My friend Bob Bestrat had both legs cut off because of diabetes. Something my wife could relate to within her own family. The different things that people with diabetes in their family when they had suffered from things. Bob had a positive attitude. He called up Lou, another friend of Bob's and my both, who on the day Lou was getting ready to have a leg amputated from one hospital, Bob had just had his second one cut off. Called Lou from hospital to hospital. I, with myself, another pastor, and another man were visiting Lou in the hospital when the call came in. Encouraged him. Encouraged him. Hang in there. They're both with the Lord. Don't know what my reaction would be if I said, we're going to have to cut off your foot or your leg. It told Stonewall Jackson they were going to have to cut off his arm. He told them to cut it off. That was God wanted to happen. That's what God wanted to happen. Another Confederate general, I've forgotten which one it was, and I had to have, when they amputated his arm, he knew he was dying anyway. He says, give it to me. It's been with me a long time. He died. He wanted to be his arm buried with him. Jackson said, I'll lose it, I'll lose it. Different people react different ways. We don't know what he'll go through. But we have to come to the point of asking God for spiritual wisdom to make the right decision. Stage 6 is operation decision making. We reach a doctrinal conclusion. The doctrinal conclusion must be concerning the Father's will for dealing with this problem. Ephesians 5, 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember, you've got options, and you've got to make sure you're taking the option that's the operational will of God for your life. What does God want me to do with this situation? And can I do this through the filling of the Spirit to the glory of God? This becomes a question. How is my decision going to glorify God? Am I truly doing what the Spirit wants me to do? Stage 7 is Operation Grace Perspective. Operation Grace Perspective. Applying the grace perspective by appealing to the Father through our High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, for spiritual help. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed to the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we're talking about people going through long-term testing here, not the simple faith-rest drill for quick decision-making of limited testing. We're talking about a lifestyle of dealing with the pressures and tests in your life, particularly as you grow older, particularly living in a country as we live in today, where the culture of today was not the culture into which I was born. Privacy and property rights that was known when I was a child do not exist in this country. It's the same way anymore. 50 years this country has moved fast into a socialistic nation in so many ways, and people have no way of understanding it because, one, they do not understand what socialism is. On the other side, we have all of the greed of corrupt monopolistic capitalism that has stolen and robbed so much from the people. I've shocked people for years when I point out that neither capitalism nor socialism is the Christian way of life. They are systems of economics. Monopolistic capitalism, which is often called fascism, which is a unitation of the government with business and joint ventures, is designed to keep the wealth of the nation in the hands of a few people. True Marxist socialism is designed to give everybody the same thing and bring everything down to a standard of mediocrity. Free enterprise means the man risks his own money, not the government's money, and when he loses, he loses. Or the money of those who are willing to invest can risk it, and people have to learn that there are risks in investments. They have to do their homework. They have to be honorable people running the companies. There's a big difference between free enterprise and monopolistic capitalism, between free enterprise and socialism, but there's a moral degeneration in this country. There's no respect for the Word of God anymore within this country in general. Emotionalism rules what's called the churches that still exist. We appeal to Christ, the high priest. We're to come boldly before the throne of grace, saying that we have a great high priest that is passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Hold fast our profession. We're not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, with all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But you see, the help that we have to look for is not my will, thine be done. Christ prayed in Hebrews chapter 10. He said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, as is written in the book. We have to commit ourselves to it. That commitment, which when the Son of God came out of heaven to hypostatic union at the moment of the conception, the womb of Eve, the body of the Father, body of Mary that the Father had prepared for him. She came. The Son entered in and took human nature upon himself, and that human nature, born of the woman, miraculous seed produced by the Father, the power of the Spirit, oversaw the whole thing. When Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, there he knelt and prayed, Not my will, thine be done. And from there he went to the cross. We have to function in accordance with this. Alright, having got the grace perspective, stage 8 is operation application of the Bible doctrine. We have to apply the doctrinal conclusions to the problem. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Or verse 9, Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We find peace by applying the doctrine. Now, the doctrine may take us through the test, so that brings us to stage 9, operation patience. We have to wait on the Lord, Psalm 46:10. I know you've had it before, but we're expanding on it in a minute. You'll see, but it's important for you to get it down. I wanted to reemphasize everything clearly so you don't miss anything. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I've got friends of mine with cancer. They've got to live with it, just like my wife lives with the reality that's in remission. Her surgeon calls it non-detectable cancer. But she says, they never tell anybody it's not there anymore. Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Patience is an issue from God, and He wants us to live with patience. We receive long suffering the moment we believe in Christ. I'm sorry, the moment we're filled with the Spirit. We receive the ability to long suffer as long as we're filled with the Spirit. James 1:12 said, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You pass through the test. You keep going one step at a time. Stage 10 is Operation Deliverance. We allow Christ to deliver us through the test. 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm sorry, I skipped verse 16 there. Oh, verse 18, I'm sorry, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's the Lord that has to deliver us. Stage 11 is to thank the Father for providing the solution to the problem. Thank the Father for providing the solution to the problem. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now I want you to notice what you've got up to this point real quick. One, Operation Rebound, confessing sin. Two, Operation Bended Knee, humility. Three, Operation Mental Stability, claim of promise. Four, Operation Reverse Concentration, cogitate on doctrine. Five, Operation Divine Support, pray for wisdom. Six, Operation Decision Making, reach a doctrinal conclusion. Seven, Operation Grace Perspective, apply the grace perspective by appealing to the Supreme Court of Heaven, going to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ for help. Stage 8, Operation Application of Bible Doctrine. Apply the doctrinal conclusion to the problem. Stage 9, Operation Wait on the Lord. Operation Patience, we wait on the Lord. Use patience, we wait for Him to solve the problem. Stage 10, Operation Deliverance. Allow the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver us through the test, not outside the test, but through the test. Stage 11, thank the Father for providing the solution to the problem. Ephesians 5:20 and then 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 5:20 again, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, we have to give thanks for the trial and tests that we go through, for the hard times of life. Stage 12 is Operation Glory. We give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father for carrying us through the test. 1 Corinthians 10:31. You haven't had this one before. Operation Glory. This is a part of daily living, the faith rest life. Not just a one-stab job of the faith rest drill. This is daily living, the faith rest life. In good times or in bad. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We put that with Colossians 3:17. When we faith rest in God and sit back and let God take care of our problems for us and give us the right answers, we bring glory to God, the Father, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We give thanks as we pass the test. We glorify God in what we're doing. 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When God takes you through the test, God gets the glory. You don't use that as a bragamony to try to impress people. There's nothing wrong with testifying to the grace of God and what He has done for you, but a lot of people get an Operation Bragamoni. Organizations go around and look for people to put themselves out in the front. They always have to be up front. They always have to be seen. They always have to be heard. And they want to call attention to who they are and what they've done. They make themselves the issue and not Jesus Christ. You see it on television all the time. I don't watch these preachers on TV. Some people do. The other night, the TV, we have to, under our new system, we have to have the TV on certain channel. We took the cable deal down there. We can no longer film. We don't have, our VCR is worthless under the new system, just like our TV is almost worthless. Got to pay extra money for this box deal down there for it. We can't use the VCR to film anything. Unless we're watching at the exact same time. And usually we want to film something my wife wants to see, and it's not on at time. We can watch it anyway. But then comes this preacher in there, and he's talking about how God wants you to take your money. Maybe it's in your savings account. Maybe it's in your money market account. Maybe it's in your sock. Maybe it's hidden in your closet box. God wants you to send this money. He wants people to send $1,000 a person to His ministry. People always begging for money. People always trying to get it out of people. If God's in the work, He'll supply the need. And what He gives you is what you have to learn to live with. My God shall supply all your need, not all of our lust. We have to learn to be satisfied. You glorify God when you go through the test by showing soul satisfaction for what's going on. God gets the glory, not us. We're not the issue. Stage 13, Operation Rest. We rest in the Father's love. The entire 91st Psalm, we do not have time to read the entire 91st Psalm to you in this class and get through with what we've got to cover yet. But we'll read you a couple of key verses there at the beginning. It's a messianic psalm. It relates to Christ, but we're in Christos, in Christ, therefore it is applicable to us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He becomes our defender, our fortress. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His features, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 on the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with that eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Immediately we remember the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. The temptation of Christ in the wilderness to jump off the pinnacle, let the angels bear him up, was Operation Miracle. He was at the temple there in Jerusalem to leap off. And the people would see him in a spectacular thing. This is Operation Glorification of self, promotion of self. That was not what he was supposed to do. That was not the Father's plans. He refused to do it. He stayed in the will of the Father. Well, might as well read the last four verses. Now thou shalt tread upon the lion, and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample on the feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Operation resting in the Father's love. Stage 14, a brand new one. Give reciprocal love to the Father. The Father loves us, we respond in love. 1 John 4, 16. Now remember, this is a long-term thing. This is not just quick dealing with a problem, getting out of it and forgetting. And we have known and believed the love that God hath through us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him, we put that with verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Give reciprocal love to the Father. And 15, trust him in the future. Trust him for the future. Future belongs to God. I've got to trust him. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. 1 Samuel 14, 47. 1 Samuel 14, 47. So Saul took... I'm sorry, I've got the wrong verse. 1 Samuel 17, 47. My apology. And this and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. 15 stages to daily living the faith rest life. Living the faith rest life is truly walking in the Spirit. The faith rest life will take the things that come your way one day at a time. Romans 8, 24 and 25 in the New American Standard says, for hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? What we hope for, what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. The hope that I spoke with others of the things promised in eternity. Father, we thank you for the faith rest life. We pray believers will truly enter into it, that this doctrine, the time we've spent on over so many years, will hit them. They will apply the doctrine of the trials and testing they're facing. They're all different for all of us. We pray you say in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.